I'm still chewing gum. Why am I chewing gum?
Building websites in my sleep.
Ted, it's all over.
It is. Yeah, they canceled Drupal.
Canceled? Oh, the Drupal project is totally done?
Oh, yeah, the DrupalCon. That's what you meant. Yeah, DrupalCon is not totally over. We have code sprints tomorrow. Very important part of it.
And now we know we're going to go to Los Angeles next year.
In 2015. I didn't check the dates, but I'm thinking around the same time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, LA is a cool place. There's a lot of really cool stuff to do. Maybe not immediately around the convention center. You might want to rent a car and go for the weekend before or after.
Yeah, the car thing, I guess. Los Angeles car culture. Not psyched about that, but do what you can.
Well, and we go from two cities that are completely bike-friendly, Bogota and Amsterdam, to LA.
Yeah, and LA, you know, probably bike-unfriendly, I guess, though probably there's enthusiasts who probably would tell you different.
Yeah, I could believe that. So I got a couple more interviews during the conference, and I'm going to pitch to them in just a second. So the first one is a girl named Amy Cham, and she set up a really cool project that is called DrupalCon Stories. It's basically like a social media aggregator for a lot of cool stuff that's happening around DrupalCon, but like more of a human face on DrupalCon.
So that sounds pretty cool. I haven't heard of that yet. I'll definitely check that out.
All right, here it is.
Where my time's gone, I can't say. I just can't turn around and walk away.
So now we're here with Amy Cham. And Amy, where do you come from in the world?
In the world or the Drupal world?
Well, the world, the geographic world.
Okay, the geographic world. I come from Edison, New Jersey.
Is that north, south, central?
It's central New Jersey, about a half hour out of New York.
Okay, cool. My family is from southern New Jersey, like closer to Philly. But you have a really fun project that I just found out about 3 seconds ago, and it's already like being posted about on Instagram that we're about to talk about this. So it's a very meta moment called DrupalCon Stories.
Yes, DrupalConStories.org.
And it's a user-generated content site?
Yeah, that's the idea. I piloted this in Portland last year. It was an idea that I came up with when I was consulting with the Drupal Association. And the idea is to get people who come to DrupalCon to just post their personal perspectives, their photos, their tweets about being at DrupalCon. It's kind of give the community more of a personal face. The content can range anywhere from a session summary to someone's exercise regimen while they're on the road to the awesome restaurant they went to the night before.
Cool. So have you been mentioned in any of like the official DrupalCon emails yet?
I don't think so. I was a little late getting the platform set up this year.
Okay.
I did get tweeted, though.
You got tweeted by the DrupalCon account or the Drupal Association account. Cool. Have you seen, like, some... Well, you said exercise regimen. That's definitely a novel kind of fun example. Are there other kind of, like, things that you didn't expect came out of this project? For example, is there, like, a group of people that does yoga at DrupalCon that we haven't seen yet, but now we can photo document it somewhere?
I believe last year we had someone who was blogging about, I think it was their running. Was it running or biking? I know there's a big contingency at DrupalCon that does biking.
Well, and this year at Austin, one of the prominent features of Austin, and probably many of the cities where we go for DrupalCon, is they have some really amazing food.
Yes, they do.
Well, I had the best avocado margarita at a place called Kura's on East Altarf Street in South Congress.
Okay, South Congress, that's like a block or two west from the convention center, and it sounds like a good place to find the not just like seedy college bars, right?
Oh yes, this was not seedy, and it did not involve colleges in any way. And it had avocado margaritas and incredibly good fish tacos and chilaquiles, which are deep fried tortilla strips that are in this really like spicy tomato and tomatillo sauce thing and covered in cheese. It is very delightful.
So for those of you who didn't listen yesterday, the voice you're hearing is Dani Norden, and she is also standing nearby. It makes me think, too, that, you know, there's some places that I feel that we may have discovered that are a little bit outside of, like, the three-block area that everybody seems to habitate, that it'd be good to maybe share on your site so that more people can find out about them, yeah?
Absolutely. I would love to see more content coming in about what people are doing in the locality that we're in during a DrupalCon. You know, that's such a huge part of the experience, especially the food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these cities have so much to offer the visitors. And, yeah, that would be fantastic to get out there.
Cool. Do you foresee there being a future, or just kind of like keeping up what's going on? Do you have, like, bigger plans that you wish you had more help to do something?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a good start last year in Portland. This year, I am still looking for people to sign up and contribute content, and I have a couple volunteers who really want to keep this going through Amsterdam. So we would like to see this be a persistent thing. You know, between cons, people can be talking about just their general experience with Drupal, and we would definitely like to see this be a persistent, ongoing thing where people are just kind of getting their stories out and introducing the world to, hey, you know, this is the Drupal community. It's not just about code.
Right, yeah. That's why I come to DrupalCon, for sure, is, like, I can watch all the session videos at home, and they're free.
Exactly.
I'm not paying for the knowledge, although that there is so much invaluable knowledge that is passed around. But to me, the really, really special stuff happens, like, in the Both rooms and the core conversations and here on the floor, you know, at lunch. So I'm happy that there are, you know, multiple efforts going on to capture some of that kind of folk history, as it were, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, things like this happen, these spontaneous interviews. And, you know, the first walk around the expo hall can take well over an hour. And it's not because it's so huge and there's so many booths, but every time you turn a corner, you're running into somebody who's a friend, and that's air quotes for the people who can't see what I'm doing. You know, and they're people that you interact with all the time. You know who they are. You like them as people, but you never see them in person. And this is such a close-knit social kind of group. It's a big part of the DrupalCon experience, is just getting together with these people you do so much with throughout the year, but actually seeing them in person.
Yeah, and one thing, you know, somebody said to me this morning, too, is one of the interesting things about the Drupal conferences versus many other conferences is that we give hugs here.
Yes, we are huggers. That's.
We also wear costumes.
You have so many costumes. I have pictures.
So many costumes. And, like, T-shirts with bizarre things on them. And we love to get really crazy swag. Like, it's all about the crazy swag.
And that, it's, I think it's a long-running tradition, too. You have, you know, Kieran wearing his sort of site-specific outfits, and some people, they dress up special on the day they have their talk, and there's obviously some of the more pageantry-oriented sessions that have sort of sprung up as a tradition now. So
don't forget cat GIFs. You got to have the cat GIFs and cat videos.
So many presentations.
I've determined that is a factor for success in a DrupalCon presentation. And I tell you that next year, there will be cat GIFs in my presentation. This is Dani. There will be cat GIFs. I'm telling you this now.
Well, great. Amy, go ahead and plug the website again in case people have forgotten by this point.
Yeah, it's DrupalConStories.org. There's also a Twitter account, DrupalConStory. And, yeah, sign up. It's open for everyone to sign up. You'll get an email confirmation to log in. There's a join/sign-up tab up at the top of the screen. And, yeah, sign up. Hook up your Twitter and Instagram accounts. We'll start automatically pulling anything you hashtag with Drupal Story. And, you know, please, by all means, you know, put in some blog posts. If you have a story you want to tell, go for it. We'd love to get as many perspectives as possible.
Excellent. Well, and I look forward to checking out the site.
Thank you.
And thanks, Dani.
You're welcome. Cat GIFs.
Okay, and the next interview I had was an interesting person that works for Red Hat. Her name is Diane Mueller, And she actually works on a lot of cool stuff, including like an open source human 3D scanner and printer setup that she's working on, like making the designs for it open source also. But the project that we talked to her about is called OpenShift. It's a Red Hat project. Have you heard of OpenShift?
I have, but I'm blanking.
It lets you set up your own like Pantheon, basically.
So with dev, stage, prod oriented?
Well, and like you give it to an empty server and it can set up the whole platform and the way that you can just go ahead and spin up new environments really easily.
Does it have the ability to push code back and forth, similar to Pantheon, like Git integration?
We did not get to talk about that part, although it kind of has a thing where it can like it can automatically install the application. Like if you want to do Open Atrium, it can automatically install Open Atrium.
Wow, so it's like sort of Drupal or at least app aware, kind of website app aware.
Yeah, you can hand it a whole configuration and, you know, like tell it to run certain scripts to get things going. So probably worth more checking out, but we'll hear more from Diane in just a second.
In my darkest hour appears a module that holds all the power. But it has issues in its queue, and writing patches is up to me and you.
So now we're here on the show floor with Diane Mueller from Red Hat. And Red Hat has a number of open source projects. The most popular one, obviously, is RHEL, Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And Diane, you work specifically on a project called OpenShift. What's OpenShift?
Well, OpenShift is a platform as a service. So it's basically cloud infrastructure, sits on top of cloud infrastructure and allows you to automate the deployment of the LAMP stack, the Linux, the Apache, the MySQL, the database pieces, and your programming language, whether it's Perl, Python, or PHP, or a whole polyglot of other things. That's a lot of P's right there. But it's an automation layer that you add on top of your infrastructure. Whether it also runs on bare metal, so virtualized hardware, so you can easily run it on pretty much anything you want. And the real goal of this is just sort of to give that real seamless DevOps experience for people who are deploying CMSs like Drupal or Joomla or WordPress. Maybe those are all bad words to say here at DrupalCon, but what we've been doing on the OpenShift team is making sure that Drupal 7, Drupal 8, PressFlow, Open Atrium, Open Public, all of those are ready to run out of the box with a single click. You can go to origin.openshift.com and read all about it. You can go to origin.ly and launch it and deploy it on our hosted service. OpenShift is an open source project. Red Hat sells it as an enterprise or as a hosted service, but you can also just install it yourself. So you go to install.openshift.com and really quickly deploy on whatever your hardware is, as long as it's RHEL or CentOS or Fedora, and you can host your own platform as a service. So you could become, say, your own Pantheon or your own Acquia with a few clicks, because this is an open source project.
Yeah, you just answered a lot of my questions. Like, can I run Red Hat clones, I think is maybe the right word for them.
CentOS or Fedora both support it. And the reason, as long as it's a RHEL related Linux distribution, you can run it there. It's a highly secure platform as a service. Platform as a service is all about multi-tenancy. So you can have multiple applications running on the same resources and you get a much greater efficiency and you still get the wonderful experience and it scales very nicely. So
when you're talking about OpenShift and setting up your own Pantheon or your own Amazon, does that mean that I can set up like a whole separate environment over here with, you know, front-end servers, database servers, load balancers, and that's like one account, as it were?
That could be one customer. So say, I don't know what company you work with, but say you had Ryan.com and you were a Drupal consulting firm and you had lots of customers. So you may also have non-Drupal customers too, someone using Node.js or sneaking some Python in there too. So each of those customers would be set up with a set of their own gears. and their own DNS and their own thing. And you can manage all of your customers as the administrator of the PaaS. So if something like Heartbleed comes along, you could push the fix out to all of the containers from the PaaS administration. And that way, you know, updates and patches and versioning is all done. But each of those clients, so say it's ryansdad.com has a sporting goods, and your mom has another website that's doing all electronics reseller stuff. So each of those are separate companies. They stay separate companies in the PaaS. They stay in their own containers. They consume their own resources. And that makes it very... We do this using SE Linux and C groups at the moment, and it takes those tenants. So the tenants are in containers that they have SSH and root access to, or it appears to have that, but they can't mess with anybody else's stuff. So they're in very distinct containers that scale very efficiently. You can add more resources. You can set up business rules and policies to the size of those containers. And you can give your clients a front end so they can deploy themselves. And you can give your clients, if you want to, and trust them, SSH access into their own containers, because you can be guaranteed that, well, guarantee is a bad word, but you can be pretty assured that they're not going to be able to mess with anybody else's stuff. So it's a wonderful environment, especially for consulting firms with lots of CMS clients and lots of them. So the converse of that, too.
Well, I was just going to say, we've come a long way since the jail shell, right?
We've come a long way since cPanel and Plesk. You know,
that's for sure.
I wrote an article a couple weeks ago called The Death of cPanel. And, you know, there's things, you know, people love cPanel and they do all that sort of stuff. But it's the handcuffs that you're in when you're in a cPanel or Plesk kind of world, and you don't have access to really work with your content and your files and your databases. And this is like having infrastructure as a service is just like computing resources in the sky. Platform as a service puts another layer on top of that, in which you have the entire application stack available to you in an automated, manageable, scalable way.
And you mentioned that there's support for things like, you know, Open Atrium. So does that mean that there's like an Open Atrium recipe that I can kind of load up and somebody can say, I want an Open Atrium over here?
Yeah, so what we call them, they're not recipes, they call them cartridges, so, or quick starts. And if you go to origin.ly and just search there, you'll find an index of all of the quick starts and cartridges that have been contributed to the community, and you can click there and launch them. There's also a marketplace on OpenShift Online that's available now for commercial third-party offerings. So I can do, like, if I was going to create, we were joking about it last night, open dating distro, you know, for, just think about it, a Drupal distribution for dating sites. Wouldn't that rock, right? If I was going to create a custom distro, I could add it to the index, and anyone could launch it and deploy it. Also, we could create our own private distro. So say you're a consulting firm and you have, we were just talking about it a few minutes ago, Red Hat has over 100,000 open source projects that we sponsor in some way and put resources on. And all of them probably have some form of a website. Probably all of them don't have the legal disclaimer footer on it. So if I created an open OSS projects distro of Drupal that had the correct Red Hat theme in it and the legal disclaimer clicking back to the corporate site, blah, 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 all that stuff, with one click, everybody could deploy on OpenShift a well-themed, robust CMS with forums, if I was using Open Atrium and a backend that was pretty cool and strong for email things. So think about it, folks at Red Hat, if you're listening to this and you have an open source project, talk to me. And anyone else that, you know, I think that would be I saw the other distribution was MVP. David Snopek was talking about the MVP distro. It's something similar to that, but for open source projects. There are so many things you can do with Platform as a Service plus Drupal, because I think it's a really good combination. The two communities are very similar. They're very open. There's a lot of diverse contributors to it from all walks of life, you know, that just make it an amazing marriage.
Well, and I would love to see there being, you know, somebody out there taking the idea that you just said, pick dating or pick another vertical.
Maybe not dating. Maybe the open source project one would be more fun.
Well, it's something that would, you know, generate revenue like a startup model, and then them saying, okay, well, we found our vertical. We're going to do band websites, or we're going to do film websites. We'll take film, but we'll share our knowledge, and somebody else could take churches.
Yeah, so, you know, I think one of the wonderful things about working in open source, David Strauss was just over here at the Red Hat booth a few minutes ago talking about Systemd and all this, the work that wonderful work that he's been doing around that. And really what the vibe here is that people are contributing. You know, they are doing, they're not keeping their secret sauces secret. They're opening them up because they realize the value of contributing and collaborating across all the different platforms, all the different projects, all the different distros in Drupal. So, you know, this has been a wonderful experience being here at DrupalCon. I will be back again. Most of you probably have met me in some way, shape, or form, but if you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at PythonDJ on Twitter, is really easy, on the IRC channel as dmuller at OpenShift on Freenode, or OpenShift-dev. And visit us at origin.openshift.com. It's an open atrium site. It's our community site. And if you want to contribute, or you have a cartridge or a distro of Drupal you don't see, reach out to me, and maybe we'll create open dating together.
Very nice. Thanks a lot, Diane.
Thanks for having me.
And our last interview today is going to be a guy we actually have had on the podcast before. He's the maintainer of GeoField module. His name is Brandon Morrison. You remember this guy?
I do, because I like GeoField module a lot.
So Brandon, he works for Phase 2, and Phase 2, I did not know this, has a data visualization podcast that they do.
That is cool. I did not know that.
He did a live taping of one of his podcasts here at the booth, and he got a guy that did a session here at DrupalCon about science data and a couple of other people, and so he's going to tell us about that.
Sounds great.
I'm here to stay in the Drupal way, where I leave behind beliefs from yesterday, where the themers meet.
Okay, so I'm here with Brandon Morrison, who works at Phase 2 out of Washington, D.C., and you had, well, at the Phase 2 booth, there was this really cool big setup. They had like live music. They had different presentations going on throughout the day. But you sort of did like a mini presentation inside the booth that was about data visualization. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So at Phase 2, we do a monthly podcast called Visual Dimensions, where we talk to people in the industry that do interesting stuff on the data viz side. So we talk to people that are interested in how do we share stories in a visual way, and how do we make that the information that we're trying to share digestible in a meaningful way? I mean, like, it's really easy to just have walls of information and text and everything, but if you don't, if you can't parse that and you can't provide that in a way for people to get like the TLDR version of it, that's how you do it. And so today what we ended up doing was we worked with a couple of people, one guy named Adam Shepard, who did a presentation on Wednesday about linked data within the within the scientific community. They had done like a really interesting setup there, so that they could share that share scientific information with a wide variety of people. And then we talked to Doug Marcy, who's another developer, architect at Phase 2, that we've done some interesting work on the data processing side of things. And so we were kind of talking about where does Drupal fit in a data intensive project. Like, if you have a web app or a website where you need to share a lot of information to your audience, how well does Drupal fit in with that, and where can it go from there? And so we're kind of talking about just like the art of the possible within that framework.
Cool. So it was a little bit of like a round table. Like, did you guys have like slides or something, or is that a little more like the presentation from the other day with the science?
The slides and stuff were definitely from the science thing. Today was a little more informal. Usually we do slides for the visual dimensions, but this is actually the first one that we've done in a live setting. So, that's sort of true. We usually do them as live hangouts, and so like we have the presentations and that sort of thing involved there, but this was like the first like actually in person one that we did. So we ended up kind of doing just more a more informal setup for that.
Cool. So what's your background like, other than that you work with Drupal, that gets you interested in data visualization?
Sure. So my background's in journalism. I went to school as a media designer, which the way that I explain that is that it's halfway between journalism and graphic design. So like I basically learned how to lay out newspapers in college. And so I graduated, I worked at a paper in Memphis for a while, working on their website and that sort of thing. And when I was working there, I had a lot of interesting projects where, we would work like with the police department, for example, to get crime information from the city. And we would try to show that in digestible ways versus just, so-and-so got shot, so-and-so had their house robbed, whatever. And so we did a lot of mapping work with that. And so that's kind of the beginning of where I started to become interested in data viz. Fast forward a few years and, in the Drupal community, I've done a lot of mapping work. I maintain the geofield module and a few other things like that. So, I'm involved in that side of it. And lately, a lot of our project work has pushed us more into, sharing stories that are very visual, that are very data intensive. And so that's become just an interest in mapping is one thing, but if you take a step back and you ask the question, if you have just a mound of information and you're trying to glean that one needle out of that haystack, what is the interesting way to tell that, and how do you to give that, especially to lay people who don't have the background that you may need to actually communicate that. So my background, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge of everything, but that's kind of how I got there.
Very cool. And I just realized when you were talking, we've totally had you on the show before, and this is the first time I get to meet you in person. So hi.
Yeah. Good to meet you again. Or good to meet you as well in person. So, I love the podcast. You guys do a great job. So I appreciate you having me on again.
Well, and thanks for being part of our DrupalCon coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
The sun has gone to bed and so must I.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Very nice. Ted Bowman, the bass section of the Drupal Easy Barbershop Quartet.
I'm going to want auto-tune on that, Ryan. For sure.
Well, we're all done with DrupalCon except for a little code sprinting. We're going to go trivia night. If you've never been to DrupalCon and you're listening to this, plan on it because it's totally worth your time.
Plan on trivia night or DrupalCon?
All of the above.
Both, yeah. So your next chances are Amsterdam, Bogota, and then Los Angeles.
Yeah, we got three in a year now, so plenty of chances to get your Drupal on. And there's always, of course, the camps and the more bigger regional events. You got anything else big coming up?
I'm going to try to go to Capital Camp and perhaps the Pittsburgh one. So there's a lot going on the East Coast that I will hopefully be going to.
Very cool, Ted. Well, for getting out, I actually have one last little piece that I recorded that was with Diane. She is actually a really, really early user of Drupal. She said maybe even Drupal 2. And one of the first projects that she ever built, she went on and she didn't put a bug report. She actually wrote a thank you letter to the Drupal community. And when I read it, I said, I need to get you to read this to me on the mic. So she's gonna read that for us.
That's great. That's a cool story.
So here's the letter, and that is all for the Drupal Easy podcast. I've been Ryan Price, that's Ted Bowman, and you can, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes. Check out our other DrupalCon episode I put out earlier this week, and
as they say in Bogota, adios.
Adios.
I've been sifting through the masses of endless divs and all their classes, the one I need. There I know I should have found it hours ago.
Alrighty then. This is for Throwback Thursday here live at DrupalCon in Austin, Texas. Someone asked me how long ago did I join the wonderful Drupal community, and I had to go into the way back machine called Drupal.org and look up my old username, which is XBRL Spy. I'm now mostly known as Diane Mueller, a real person, or at Python DJ, a Twitter person. So what I wanted to do is read my very, 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 very first post at Drupal.org, dated back in August 21st, 2004, under the nom de guerre of XBRL Spy. So here goes. Title: New Drupal site, XBRLSpy.com, another happy customer. Posted by XBRL Spy. Just wanted to thank the community for making the install and launch for our XBRL community news aggregator, www.xbrlspy.com, RS feed and message board, so damn simple. We're still tweaking a bit, so comments and suggestions are always welcome. We had only one bug in the archive calendar, which we submitted the fix for, and we're up and running. My next site is coming soon and will be www.pugsonthebeach.com. This will replace an MSN group site that I've been managing for over 2 years and create an MSN ad-free space for pugs to roam. Once again, many kudos to the fine folks at Drupal for all your work, Diane. So now, how many years later is that? 10 years later, or 9 years and 2 months later, XBRL Spy is still up and running on OpenShift.com now hosting, where I live and breathe now. And the Drupal community has turned and grown into an amazing, inspiring space. So again, 10 years later, I'm saying thank you again to the Drupal community.
Awesome. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
I'm here to stay in the Drupal way, where I leave behind beliefs from yesterday, where the themers meet the coders and builders come to play. The finest hour that I have seen is the one that comes in between the edge of night and the break of day, when my side launch finally went okay. I'm here to stay in the Drupal way, where I leave behind beliefs from yesterday, where the themers meet the coders and builders come to play.